The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the European Union has suggested that member states ban smoking and vaping in outdoor spaces, like playgrounds and bus stops, cafe terraces. This is part of its beating cancer plan. The Irish Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers, was asked about this actually today and expressed his own misgivings. I'm not sure how workable the proposal is, he said. With me to discuss is John Crown, Professor and Consultant Medical Oncologist at St Vincent's Hospital Group, and Dr Gareth McGovern, Medical Director of Priority Medical Clinic and a GP specialising in addiction as well. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. John, do you think we should, as far as we can, sign up to this plan by the European Union?
Good evening, Kieran. Good evening, Gareth. I think so, really. I mean, from what I understand, and I really had only heard about the proposal today, it appears that they want to limit smoking in places like outdoor areas of restaurants, outdoor areas of bars, zoos, places where, you know, people, you know, congregate, where children congregate. I think it makes sense. I mean, anybody who actually sits in an outdoor area in a restaurant beside a smoker knows really how unpleasant it can be to have people blowing and puffing smoke in your general direction. I don't really want to be exposed. I don't want my child or my older children to be exposed involuntarily to cigarette smoke. And those kind of circumstances, I think that ban makes great sense.
What health dangers, if any, are you exposed to in an outdoor area if somebody is smoking around you? Like if the smoke has been blown away?
The best evidence is not that it is not completely harmless. I'm sure it is much less harmful than smoking in an indoor area. But there are studies which show that people that are exposed to outdoor smoke are exposed to particulates, that there can be measured changes in their own rate of breathing, etc. And even if there wasn't, I think just a general unpleasantness, it's not something which should be, I think, forced on other people who are sitting in an outdoor area. I love eating al fresco. I love having a drink outdoors. And the fact that, you know, these sometimes plum places, these choice places and bars and restaurants are reserved for the smokers, I think is a little bit unfair.
Gareth McGovern, like I say, with us as well. Gareth, have you misgivings about this plan were we to sign up?
Yeah, I suppose I do. I mean, I take John's point. He's absolutely right. I mean, there's nothing worse than being in an outdoor area and someone's blown smoke in your direction. That is irritating at the very least. I don't think there's any great evidence of smoking outside having the passive smoking effect on people that maybe indoor smoking does. I suppose I would. I just think it's probably a little bit pointless. Smoking, I think we'll all agree, is a very, very harmful habit. It's very, very hard to give up smoking. I do think that smokers probably did give up a lot by not being able to smoke indoors, which was absolutely the right decision to make. I think it's probably a step too far to absolutely ban smoking in outdoor areas. I mean, I know it's particular areas, but I largely think it's probably going to be unworkable.
Might the same logic not apply, though, in this case as it did with indoor areas, that, you know, if you make it more and more problematic for people to smoke outside their home, as it were, that you might have people less likely to smoke full stop?
Possibly. I mean, I don't think there's any great evidence. I mean, trying to give up smoking is very, very hard in the first place. I'm not convinced there's any great empirical evidence that, you know, making smoking outdoors or anywhere makes it easier for people to quit. Smoking is very complex. It's very, very hard, difficult habit to crack, and when people put their mind down to it, I don't think it really has any relationship.
It would make smoking all that less visible in society, though, as well, wouldn't it, for younger people?
Yeah, I mean, I think the large part of the thinking is that in parks and things like that, that young people wouldn't be sort of exposed to it, and perhaps in that case, they wouldn't be more likely to try smoking. Again, I'm not sure of the evidence in support of that. If there is evidence, I haven't really seen it. I think the only evidence I can see in terms of smoking prevalence is a Korean study where it showed that when they did do this, that there was a 16% reduction in smoking prevalence, which I think was quite significant. But I haven't seen very much sort of evidence internationally in support of any of these measures.
John, were you surprised, given how much the Irish government and actually Fianna Fáil as a party in particular, I like to brag about kind of the implementation of the smoking ban, that Jack Chambers has expressed reservations about this?
I was a little surprised that Dr. Jack Chambers has expressed
a
reservation about it. He is a medical doctor, and he used to work with us, fine young doctor. But I was a little surprised, and I think it's a danger of getting caught on the wrong side of history on this one. I mean, I think Gareth's points are well made, but there were two aspects to this kind of smoking ban. Number one, which is sometimes seen as the nanny state aspect of it, which is society trying to enforce a behavior upon the smoker, apparently against the smoker's wishes. And I personally am, I must say, quite sympathetic to the idea that we should try and make smoking less accessible to smokers for their own benefit. And if that makes me a nanny statist, I'm sorry. I used to be a smoker. I understand the power of the addiction. I understand how all kinds of rational thoughts go out the window when you're craving a cigarette. I can recall when I was a young man how incredibly irate I used to get when people were trying to limit my access to being able to smoke. It was a different time. And of course, you realize now that that's what some addiction counselors would refer to as stinking thinking. It's the kind of, you know, disordered thought process that you get, the rationalization that you get, you know, born out of addiction. That kind of indignation, I think, really is not well placed. The second one is the rights of other people. And I think people have a right not to smell tobacco smoke. I think if people wish to smoke in their own house or perhaps in a well-ventilated street or something like that, that's, you know, let them do it. But if I bring I still have a 9-year-old child. I like to bring him to the zoo. You know, I like to bring him to certain places, outdoor restaurants. I don't think he should be exposed to smoke. And I think Gareth's point about it being far less harmful than indoor passive smoking is probably correct, but it is not harmless. There are studies which suggest that there are a number of measurable variables which do occur if you're exposed to passive smoke in the outside world. So again, why should we force people to put themselves at a risk, albeit a small risk, to make themselves victims of unpleasantness and at the same time facilitate the self-destruction of addicts?
Lots of people getting in touch, as you'd imagine. Smoking was not permitted in the city centre or any public place in Perth when we lived there over 10 years ago. It was never an issue. It was easily enforced. And I was a smoker at the time, but it was the law. That's just the way it was. David, though, says, I have an idea. Don't sit in the smoking area. Those outdoor areas were generally designed after the smoking ban. And now you want them to yourself. Outrageous. Says David. I should point out as well, we keep talking about smoking. As far as I know, the EU have included vaping as well in this suggestion that member states impose a ban. And in terms of the language of this circular, if we'll call it that, smoking and vaping are kind of given parity of esteem. Are you surprised by that, Gareth?
Very surprised. Well, probably not surprised in terms of a lot of misinformation out there. There isn't really they're hardly comparable. I mean, smoking is a far different beast than vaping. Vaping is essentially a nicotine delivery system. There are some harms to come with it, but not in the same ballpark as smoking.
John, do you think we should or shouldn't be including vaping?
I've had the privilege of articulating it on your show before, Kieran, but I mean, I believe vaping is a really useful smoking cessation technique, and it should be nothing else. It should be no part of what we're doing right now to encourage people to take up vaping as a recreational activity. I think vaping should be medically and, you know, pharmaceutically regulated. It should be seen as a medicine. It should be seen as a way of getting people off this incredibly dangerous smokable tobacco addiction and to something as a bridging strategy, which is less dangerous. There are real risks associated with vaping, and while the physical risks are certainly less than they are for smoking, there are some. To say that it is harmless is utterly untrue, and as well as that there are important addiction risks, because some people will become addicted to nicotine as a result of using vapes as gateway products. So I do think we need to turn the screw on vaping as well, and I'm sorry, I know that there are a lot of people, well-meaning people, have different attitudes about vaping, but honestly, it should be strictly a smoking cessation tool and nothing else.
John Crown, professor and consultant medical oncologist in St. Vincent's Hospital Group, and Dr. Gareth McGovern, who's a medical director with Priority Medical Clinic. He's a GP specialising in addiction. Gareth and John, as always, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.